Well, I'm switching to more gastrointestinal work.
Okay.
And Andrew really wants to be able to model small intestines, a larger part, and the problems are just huge.
Okay.
And I think we're running.
Can you end up with such a link?
We're going to be running into problems with. And I think adaptive is the only way to go.
Is the way like in one place in your test at a time? Was it like five places? Or
I think there's like five.
Okay, so but that's still only a small proportion of
the. Probably every, remesh every five or ten times steps, probably. So
that is like quite attractive.
Well, I mean, I'm working right now on higher order time stepping methods, but I'm not confident that it's really going to be able to, because I think in reality they're just too difficult to use, and so I think.
You're trying to take a larger time step?
Yeah. Because it's a relatively smooth action potential versus cardiac. It doesn't have the amplicon strip, so I can do that with advantage.
Cool.
I think it really needs to be.
How does that. So that's sort of the operator splitting issue?
It's more of an implicit-explicit,
okay.
Which is a little bit different. Okay. Basically, a little bit different. But then you can properly do BDF type schemes on the right-hand side, left-hand side,
easier. You don't have any more
BDFs? Like, basically higher order.
Okay.
Because you need old time steps, and it's hard to get out of the splitting.
Okay.
But the whole point is, I think, the mesh type. I'll live mesh type codes.
Okay.
I'd like to try and start to put in a large mesh from just read in the mesh using elements for now.
Okay.
Oh, cool.
What solver do you need to use with that?
I'm going to use one out here.
Sorry? Oh, you want
to? I mean, eventually, you're I'm just going to use it. Eventually, I'll just use PNG.
Oh, okay.
There won't be really any need. Unless it's a specific type problem to use anything other than AMG for the elliptic part.
Your mesh can be coarser than what we use for the heart, can it? Because of the smooth
structure. 1 millimeter?
So that is quite a bit coarse.
Yeah.
Although we tend to use that, but need to know it's more of the
type. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe one of the things related to that. Maybe I could come back and write down a few things that I could do specifically.
Because even that 1 millimeter, we might run into memory still, but the grid, the storage of the mesh.
Well, it's not about.
A bit of mind, no?
It's not really about being able to run that problem at this moment.
Okay.
Because we don't have the resources, but it's about having being able to run a significant part of that on a machine, where it's multi-processor and everything.
So we have the view that we will, and then we'd know what we would require to run it.
I mean, if we can get, 500 processors. It's probably easier to get 500 processors of a distributed machine than shared.
I think so. Except HPC, so 1,000 shared.
Cool. So how, it was pretty easy to get the assembly to assemble one?
Yeah, it had been done in a sort of a store direct to your right hand side and direct to your solution matrix, whereas now it's more of a two stage mass matrix. I put the stiffness matrix direct into the solver matrix, but you could have the mass and stiffness and then combine them together. And the right hand side for the fully implicit is the product of your mass matrix and your solution. And so there's that sort of extra step just to make to expect to multiply the steps. They'd already done that sort of thing for a different class of problem. They actually wrote a derived class from linear implicit system, which might have been the right way to do it, but I just built it on top of the linear implicit system.
Yeah, if you derive the class, it, I guess the intention is then it's easier for someone else to use it on.
That's right. Yes. Seems to be the big issues there.
Huh?
Okay, almost the same answer, just in tense, with the
Oh, good. Have you selected an example that we can say we're doing?
No, I guess there's some stages we've got to look at before we feel like we're
close to an example.
Like I can know we're heading towards examples just by doing things like what have been so far.
Sure.
Another stage that we might want to do at some stage is fibers. Is that important for your
anisotropy? Is there not examples of? I mean, it just feels like even if there isn't an example that does what we're doing, maybe there should have been. I mean, an example of this.
Fiber
generation? No, without fibers. Even our test problem. Well, I don't know.
It would be nice if it was a heat equation example, and I can put that one in, but that's the one that runs really slowly. And I think that's worth it.
But let's put the lib mesh heat equation in. And don't worry about the CM heat equation bit.
Okay.
It's what you've done. It's worth documenting, and it's
That's my intention.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but I haven't got a CM example to say that.
Okay, I don't care. But there's a place for it, right? There's heat equation in the tree.
Okay. So
it's like 1D ones.
You're quite keen that it just goes in amongst the solvent.
I'm quite happy that it does.
Depends what its purpose is. If it's to show you how to solve the heat equation, that's cool. If it's to show you how to use a lib mesh, then it probably should be a lib mesh trick.
We can make a new website, a web page that has a link to all the lib mesh ones.
Okay.
Which we should. You probably should undo one of your lib mesh pages or a new one. Just say examples using lib mesh and just refer to the ones that you put in the normal tree that use lib mesh.
Here's something that maybe we've talked about before multiple times, but maybe it's written down, maybe I've just forgotten. But an outline of what we're definitely using lib mesh now.
Yeah.
Well, going forward.
Yeah, you're right. We haven't written our little steps towards getting.
That's what's going to suggest we do now is we put the things that we need to add onto this to make it do what we want.
Okay.
We won't do it all in the next week, but over the next few weeks we can prioritise what we do first.
Okay, so fibers. you were just telling it though, right? So
right now, let's assume we've got Carl's changed so you can assemble once.
Yeah.
So that's the first small one. That wasn't. So then fibers would be.
Yeah. I don't know. Fibers, LML, I mean, or hard coding, one or other. We need a.
There's actually something else before we talk about fibers is how we're going to enter fibers into it. Right now in CM, we create these big elements. Those define fibers, and then we interpolate to these fiber elements.
Yeah.
How do we want to do it with lib mesh?
Mm.
An easy way is to. And how are we going to create what meshes? Because it could be the first thing we need to do is write. Something within LibMesh that can create coarse elements if we want to do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
It's more memory efficient, isn't it?
Create coarse elements and then from that create finer elements. Or we can say let's always create fine elements from
using
like CM.
Yeah.
And then put that into a file and read that in.
Yeah.
So there's two options there.
Yeah.
One requires more work than the other one, but it's probably easier for incorporating material.
So this.
And plus
the problem is, I mean, you could just start with the coarse mesh and refine, you're saying, but in LibMesh, but...
No, I'm saying...
Or we'd have to use higher order elements.
Let's add Hermite elements.
Oh, okay.
And then from those Hermite elements, let's let not that be... That's like called the geometry, and then from the geometry create the mesh.
Yeah, yeah.
So if we did that, then we could... already have the geometry in there if we ever wanted to do mechanics. And then from that we create the mesh. Or we can just say, let's skip that for now and let's go to reading in the mesh. Because we could in the end want both options.
Yeah.
So you can read in a mesh and read in a fiber field. So you could use CM.
That fiber field way that we define things is a bit arbitrarily ours too, isn't it?
There's sort of Euler angles, but the two of them are swapped around.
Yeah. it's a bit special to ourselves.
Yeah, I think we'd do it in a more conventional manner.
Oh, you think we'd do something different?
Yeah.
That's a bold call.
It was designed for the hatch.
Yeah.
Not only used for that.
Yeah. That is a bit unusual.
Anyway, that's a small issue.
But you could read in, you could I mean, what I've got a small code that just uses BoxMG, and I just, if I want to create a fiber field, I just create a file that has the fiber orientation in terms of the implication, fiber and sheet, or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
And from that, I create the tensor for each element, small load. So it would be a big file.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where you tell me.
Yeah, yeah, I understand. Okay.
But it's a lot easier, and it gets things going a lot quicker than first needing to have full Hermite components. So that's what I'm saying, is before deciding to do fibers, we should decide how do you want to get fibers in, how do we want to get fibers under.
Yeah, yeah.
So can I just check that I understand that? So either we get load mesh to have a coarse mesh, and then it does the...
Coarse higher order mesh.
Yeah, and that does like it works. Or from CM, we just produce lots of linear descriptions, and then load mesh can already handle it, but it might take up quite a bit more memory.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. CMGO, you can do that interpolation. Just that, it can do the same thing. Just another way of getting.
So we can create a mesh, basically. That makes that sound better, because in the end, if you you'd like to, in the end, not have to use CM at all.
Mm.
And if CMGO can then also be a way to read in a mesh and then read in a coarse mesh and export a fiber.
Yeah. I don't know, actually. It's essentially evaluating those grids like before.
But if we're wanting people to see that we've done stuff, it's probably easiest to go for exporting a mesh, exporting fibers,
and then get some results quickly.
So
we're happy to do that in this first case.
I am.
Okay. Oh, good. I thought you were angling for the other thing. I thought we decided to do the other thing. Oh, good. Oh, good.
Path of least resistance.
Oh no. Okay. That's what I thought we were doing. That's why I was surprised you were asking for this. It wasn't clear.
No, I was saying that because I thought you guys were.
Oh no, no, no! I was definitely angling for that.
Okay.
What were you thinking, Carl? I'm quite happy to use CM to do it at this point as well, but I just point out that we could use CM GUI, especially if you wanted to present an open source way of doing the same thing.
Okay.
Other people would just want to see something running.
And other people think that the fine mesh is their mesh. I mean, that's what everyone else uses for a mesh.
Well, that's what everyone else uses for.
So no one thinks that we're cheating, because they look at that, that's your mesh. What's this other mesh? So I don't think we're not looking like we're cheating to anyone.
Yeah.
Everyone else thinks that is my mesh.
The only thing is that it's probably going to be specified at the order of the coarsest mesh being sold if you're using it.
Well, that's another possibility, is that we want to reduce the amount of memory required by the... we want to reduce the amount of memory required to describe the mesh, a file, and the fibers. We could say, well, let's just define on a coarse linear mesh, and then refine it within the mesh.
Mm.
Yeah, as long as you're not too far away from your geometrical interpolation.
True. That's
particularly your fibers. Those Euler angles must end up being quite a nonlinear function across a linear across an element.
Yeah, but they're better than the. Looking at the matrix, if you were trying to interpolate the matrix value.
That's what I mean, that's exactly right. So that interpolating the Euler angles wouldn't map particularly well to interpolating the matrix.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay, that's good. Oh, we all agree about that.
So then getting the fibers in with the mesh on the side is the first thing. So being able to essentially...
Is that more important than trying to have... Is anisotropy more important than putting in a cell model equation? So that's the other option. You could go the other way and say, let's do an isotropic cell model. I can't.
I don't know.
It seems like then we're solving tissue.
I think the anisotropy is probably going to happen earlier. So people kind of say, wow, we're doing it, but still, it is a big, it's an easier step to take. I'm always keen on taking
it may or may not be the easiest chipset, because LibMesh is set up well for having different types of interpolation for dependent variables, but it's unclear how you interpolate your arbitrary data. It's something we're going to need to sort out.
Well, yeah. Another thing to consider is, I think oftentimes it's treated piecewise constant. So you could treat it piecewise constant instead of, maybe you are.
Your angles are always
with that matrix.
You could interpolate outside. So you would be.
In your fine elements, it's just constant.
Mm-hmm. That would not look right. People might see.
But that's probably what goes on and all of this stuff.
I mean, that's just my. I mean, you could think about it two ways. You can either have constant interpolation, which is essentially what we're doing, or linear interpolation, which is the next step.
Yeah.
I was just trying to think finite elements here. You need to see what continuity and oscillation are. It doesn't matter that if they're discontinuous parameters for the diffusion coefficient.
But our fibers are already discontinuous in all our meshes we have anyway. They're not single.
But you interpolate them anyway on 2L.
Yeah, no, but when, because they're dependent on the geometrical derivative, if you look at the fibers from the same face inheriting from the two elements, they're not the same.
Really?
They're not. maybe they're real close.
Mm-hmm.
I guess maybe we've got places where there are versions and then they're distinctly different. But
I think it's gonna be fine anyway.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, well, I don't have a big opinion actually, but I mean,
add this to our good mesh to keep. Start getting like our list of things that we want to get done with.
I'd probably make a new page. Yeah. So we'll probably have our sort of a roadmap, and then we can get done next to some things.
Because then we can start having a list of things. And
is there anything else that we need to put on that list?
You can start by saying only assemble once.
Yeah, yeah.
Totally. Well, we used to have a list and it said pick a program, and we've done that finally.
Yeah.
Evaluate programs, and we can say we've done that, or we should put that done and done and done.
So
we should go back to one of our old roadmaps.
Maybe in December this year we could actually say we've done these problems.
It's a lot further we'd be if we were starting from Chris's code. Be now writing the, I don't know. Who knows what he's done?
Yeah, should have given us a big jump into it.
Cool. So what on that list? So there's using CellML. I mean, or hard coding a model.
But
using CellML
first.
You would? Yeah, okay.
Well, actually, we need an integrator. That's sort of want to see if Andre's already got.
So he's using Sundial. I knew it was something like Sundials, but not Sundials. I think it's Sundials as an integrator. Have you sent him an email?
Is choice of an integrator going to depend on what sort of method you're using? So your operator splitting?
No, I'm just going to do operator splitting with this.
Okay.
I'm not going to try anything else.
Okay.
No.
So
let's just treat like a CM.
IDE.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. If Fontaine's already got one, you could throw that in. Otherwise, it might be easier to just do a boiler first.
He's already got it and already got it working with CellML. It might be the easiest thing to do.
Yeah, it might be.
It's just grab what he's done. It's just that I don't think he's checked it into CM. Because the CM we've got running here is still reusing the old CellML. Because then you have to run call.
One of our goals was the left ventricle, right? Something like that? Left ventricle mesh?
Get to a whole heart.
Ventricular mesh. Yeah, so handling geometries that are not linear elements is actually going to be another milestone that's probably going to take a bit of time.
But you will learn a lot when you're trying to do the fibers, right? As you say, it's another non-dependent variable
that you're trying to look at. Look at how they've done the geometry to get some hints of how to do that. I'm just trying to say that's not a small task. And so putting a sound model in may actually be faster than
well, I think you'd probably get... I think if I'm going to speak with Peter, I bet he would say sell them out, right?
Yes.
So that's something to consider.
Good political will there. Hopefully, our cluster should be online in the next couple of weeks. It's kind of there.
I'm starting to think that with all these things coming together, I might come back and just put that stuff I was working on aside. I could actually get a mesh for part of the small intestines in here sooner rather than later.
And if it works, then you don't need to do the other thing.
Right. Well, I mean, I have to look at it as what publications can I get.
Yeah.
And I think that would be, if you could get, just probably run on a distributed machine, even if it's not adaptive, that would probably be enough. So.
Yeah, well, it should be online by then, but again,
it's been a
year since we first talked about this thing.
But don't forget the machine we're using is less powerful than the ordinary.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. We can run it on the mesh in the fall. Have we successfully run on HPC though? I can't remember. The mesh.
No, we haven't. I think you made the most progress in getting it.
We were running on Vines 22.
Yeah.
I mean, we have all the stuff for
it. The new operating system is the same hardware, but at least it'll be on Linux.
So it shouldn't be a problem to get going on there.
Yeah.
And there are probably fewer people running.
Yeah, I think you'll have the queue empty. It'll be your own computer for a little while.
Don't tell anyone. Keep quiet. It's not online yet.
It's not even, it hasn't been powered on.
I get the impression that he's the smartest biggest thing.
No, there's some other people. It's again being used by people from outside.
Really? Kind of like this. Myself.
Yeah.
But yeah, some people.
Yeah.
In the university.
NHN. Which I think is from like physiology or medicine or something. Or psychology.
Yeah, no psychology.
Okay.
In complete difference to what we said.
Well, I'm happy that people use it. It'd be nice if they can contribute to it. Nobody knows that.
We don't spend our budget, so.
Yeah, okay.
It'd be really nice if we could have a clear long roadmap of what we're trying to do. And then if we do hire this Dimitri, he comes in.
Yeah.
And we've got.
We can show him where to slot into this process.
Yeah. Much better than I was originally thinking we're going to be with hiring someone.
He won't, even if we hired Dimitri, he said he wanted to finish out his contract.
Right, so it's 3 months, so
yeah.
Next January.
He's quite keen for his student to Kia to work on this.
Yes, in this way.
I think we got a big,
but
before a lot of people started getting involved, I think we got a, I don't know how you want to do this, but in terms of, there's still a lot of issues like testing, and if people are writing code and adding to it, and then how we're interacting with the LibMesh group. All of these things are still issues that if the ball gets rolling, that need to be worked on.
I agree, but they're not issues that people outside the group see.
No.
And he's quite keen that it looks like things are happening to the rest of the institute. And so we focus on that. And
yeah.
The other things we have to sort themselves out as we go.
I think, in the year of Jukia starts trying to, I mean, he's going to then start bringing us whole heart meshes, I guess. What's he supposed to do? Parameter variation. No, but that's what he's supposed to do. He's supposed to do solving electromechanics on the whole heart or whatever.
Whole heart?
Well, no, at least I'm sure our left ventricle's kind of where we're going to start. But
it is most in the heart.
Yeah. And then, but he's supposed to look at variations in the ion expression and, you know, how they affect the protein expression.
I thought he might have had a bit more time to focus on computational techniques.
His PhD isn't about that. His PhD is about how the variation of ion channels affects, or integrating that into a model. I think that's what it is. I'm pretty sure.
I feel misled.
Sorry?
I feel misled.
I mean, in the same way that, you know, Harvey's doing brain aneurysms, but he was supposed to do image processing. Again, it's because we don't have a computationally focused PI. I mean, there isn't a PI with computational objectives on their protein. They're an ancillary thing. It's always been that way. But there sounds like quite a few computationally focused people have applied for.
I think there's a small problem in the country because it's not easy to get money computation. I think it's easy to apply for money, you know, as on, for HRC where you're doing medical stuff. But if you're not going to get that money from HRC if you're doing computation.
Unless you can justify it on the basis of requirement. Yeah, you've got to be doing it in partnership with someone.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Who's got an actual problem.
So that's the way things are going to work. We pick a health problem, and then some people are going to need to implement some computational techniques.
And so presumably that's where GPR is contribute to our progress. But yeah, no, I think Peter's keen from the start. Lineage from the start.
He's
I agree. I mean,
he's a C++ programmer, or he's IBM.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Probably more likely that than Fortran, than IBM.
One advantage people have in using both meshes, I'm guessing our next system may not be a big SMB system, and we've only got 18 months.
That's Peter's plan, right? It's to go with
this. Have 18 months later.
That's scary. But I guess a lot of people who are, I guess the big problem, there's only a few people doing big problems.
Most people are running single process
reaction diffusion, and you can do that. Mm-hmm. Well, you should be able to do most of that. Because a lot of the jobs ran on there are smaller problems. Mm-hmm. And they're not really running multiple processors, they're running multiple jobs at once.
Mm-hmm. Which they can still do in the meantime.
Well, anyway, if these things have four processors, four CPUs per node, then it'll be okay.
The total mass memory.
We need to make sure that we have the biggest machine in the
world. We certainly don't now.
Next to them.
Which?
What? I think like NASA has a bigger one.
Well, they just quote the cluster, the rack of white box machines. So they made it onto the top 500. But yeah, then we've been out clusters with them with the one that Canterbury's is for. I don't know how much they've made for
them.
I mean, we can do better just by buying more stupid nodes for this thing that we've just got. Buy another rack for that would increase our number.
Did they give us the option?
Not yet. I'm sure they'd be very happy.
Yeah.
I think that's part of the whole planning.
Yeah.
You know, it's all set up, or you just have to add units. But they're not the cheapest way of buying CPU.
Yeah.
It certainly is. Once we have this cluster set up in this way, it's very easy to deploy new nodes, as far as I can tell.
But InfiniBand's not cheap either, is
it? No, totally.
I've added two things to our. One needs to be done. One's an example, and the same that provides some testing for us.
And an example of how someone else who might do something might. You know, it starts creating a framework which does provide some testing. The only other thing I've been thinking about is I kind of promised to people that we would retain some IP somewhere. Put all our examples on the web and code on the web and everyone can do everything. I'm not entirely comfortable with that. I've been to think about them.
Do you have any thoughts, Travis, on what IP you'd like to clean up the chain or
publish? I'm not really discussing the IP thing. The different open sources you're talking about?
Yeah, well, just that if your core library is open source, which I think is the right way to go, then your specific knowledge is in the way that you've used it and how you've actually implemented your grid schemes and stuff. If those examples are made public, then you disclose that as well.
What's the limitations? I mean, I forget what LibMesh is. It's not the most extreme version.
It's LGPL. And even the examples that have taken and modified from LGPL, so even the LGPL,
so we need to be in the other. If we build on top of that and have a significant layer on top of that, we just have to make sure any changes we've made to LibMesh are open to the public. But we don't have to be.
We can choose what to do with what we were.
Yeah. But I mean, it's just that the examples we generally publish are freely available.
I guess the danger with that is someone coming in and taking an example and tweaking them and adding them, getting a paper out of them.
Exactly. That's, I guess, where I'm.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be nicer if someone said, we'd really like to use your mesh and your firewall orientation without just stealing it, not knowing who did it. So I think particularly the examples, maybe remaining bits, might not be as concerned.
Yeah.
Because it would be nice to give something back, otherwise you're not.
I know, I'm just not quite sure how to handle that. That's why I bring it up. Exactly, I think it is.
You know those kinds of issues will.
Having said that, though, our examples to some degree should be showing how to do small, more, you know, quick runnable, testable problems, which probably don't resolve exactly the same issues that you would need to resolve a big mesh. So.
Sure, yeah, that's true. I mean, you don't put in your full mesh. You don't need to. Or just create a cylinder as your heart mesh or something like that. CM GUI is one of the things you're thinking about trying to hook it into CM GUI long term.
Oh yeah, so we should put it down. So some way,
I've got visualization in it.
Yeah, okay, but yeah, I think we do need to probably have import export or something.
Yeah.
So probably an export to CM GUI at least, and possibly an import.
Would it be useful to talk to the people that do Reaction Fusion other than myself and Chrome and see what Mark, for example, and see what, you know, if it's okay?
Mark has strong views about things. He uses finite volume a lot for his work, which can be done with finite elements too, in terms of these cleaves. Because the student that's coming, if he's working with Mark, there might be a chance that they're using some of the same data. So you have a lot of these cleaves breaks, which are discontinuities, and having the ability to add those easily into your...
Which are done at the moment by dropping connectivity out of a grid.
That's right.
Yeah.
But if we have an instructed mesh, it's probably easier to do without dropping it.
Well, there's the way... That's how it's done. Them, finite volume, you specify the element number, the volume number, and then what do? You don't do any integration over that or something, so you end up essentially having no flux boundary conditions on those faces of the volume.
So you specify the faces rather than...
Well, you specify the volume, but it ends up being those faces. So you could, and what I've done as a separate way...
So that's just leaving those elements out.
Yeah.
So it just comes across if you export your fine mesh, you just drop all those elements out.
You just tag them.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a simpler way. It's just tag those elements.
So cleavage planes you can write down on there, I guess.
Cool.
I mean, I'm not meaning that we have to address it soon, but you're right.
It would be something that I would implement.
I've put distributing the mesh down, and I've put not sure if or when this is needed.
Viable.
But it's a big task that may be required at one stage.
And I mean, this really hits to the point of why you want to use open source, because if someone else comes along and starts using the mesh, they even have a greater desire and they have a greater ability, then they might have the mesh paralyzed. Mm-hmm. So you can't get that if you're focusing only on your own code.
And while you're ahead of the curve, it's fine to have your own closed code, but while you're behind the curve, like I haven't seen doing, it's hard on how to do justify, because you just can't catch up.
Yeah, you subscribe to the...
not to the email, I guess.
There's supposed to be any kind of change thing, right?
Yeah,
I'm not I'll do that.
It probably is quite helpful.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
I'll probably like that for about a week.
Did Chris subscribe? Yeah, but I subscribe to it, and then I've got a thing that automatically puts that in a particular folder. So it doesn't appear in my inbox. It just appears in that other folder. And then when I'm interested in that, I go and click on that folder. I can see what changes they had since last time.
People don't change it that often. It's only when there's one person who's using external editor and saving regularly.
Then you'll get like five in a row.
Yes.
You may want to think about saying what you write, just to think about whether you would do an import function into the mesh from an EX node, or would you do an export from CMGUI into other mesh from it?
Deal them out. Played it weird. What I saw at the libmesh was that it wasn't particularly special. I mean, it was just like a big bunch of numbers. I wasn't particularly impressed by it.
Yeah.
Actually, there's another one that's bi-domain. That's very important. It's not...
Good point.
Because
we did use that as it written somewhere.
Yeah, that's going to require not a lot of work, but...
but that's going
to
be...
You might need to have a class or something. It would be good to even, at some point, in either while on the way or while on the back, to discuss a few of these issues and how we could maybe put them into LibMesh, because there's various ways to do it. Inheritance and
everything. Yeah.
And so maybe, I don't think there's always, and there might be a best way, but there's lots of ways. The bi-domain is after the cell, I would think, and after the fiber.
I've got visualization and geometry before at the moment.
I would put myself, I would be more interested in bi-domain first.
Before visualization?
Yeah. I mean, that's something that I just might do.
Okay. I sort of feel there's not much point having results unless we can see them. But
you could run whatever they use.
I guess I'll just
BDK, right?
use what they do.
Yeah.
Okay. But, I mean, there's various threads going here and various people have skills.
Yeah, well, I mean,
so I'm not going to be working on visualization.
That we have different priorities.
Yeah. So, that would be. And then we've got another person potentially coming, and that would just. Well, it'll be a year after 3 months. Hopefully, 3 months. It'd be nice. We could probably even shoot for December, the end of the year. Institute meeting, having something.
I think from now on we have to be secret. That's what you run around here now. There's no, we're not allowed to meet you. No, we publish our minutes. Just a precedent. Secret meetings. Secret.
Peter, we've just been writing down.
I'm just going to grab my computer. I'm about to have another meeting.
A list of things that we need to add to our status that we were at LibMesh at the moment.
Yeah.
And we've got to. We can think over the future how to prioritize these things. Would you like me to just read them out now, and then you can think of anything extra that we added? One was an examples framework, which is going to provide some testing for us.
Yep.
We're going to need to put in some method of handling fiber angles. And there's a cell model which requires an integrator as well as a cell, but Andre and I already have everything we need there. Visualization, an export to CMBU and possibly an import as well, either an export from CMBU in a LibMesh format or an import to LibMesh in a CMBU format. And then there's a bi-domain solution. There's neat geometries, there's ability to handle cleavage planes, and we may need to modify LibMesh to distribute the mesh across all the machines rather than having copies. Are there any other goals we should include?
I just wonder if there's the issue of the balance between distributed versus shared memory. If you're running MPI but now you want to, are there any issues we should be looking at in relation to taking advantage of the fact that we do have one very large shared memory?
I was hoping that we could so we could effectively reduce the amount of memory we need by a factor of 8 if we only have threads instead of processors on one box. What really stops us from doing that, I think, is PETC, and they actually have a page explaining that their library isn't thread safe and they don't see it as the right model to use, and so anything that builds on PETC, it's hard to take advantage of.
So they just argue that memory is cheap, and so the fact that you've got to replicate memory on a shared.
It makes you enable, I guess you're not tailoring your code to a specific size of number of groups of nodes or whatever, otherwise you end up, your code will work best when you have 8 nodes together and you know, that sort of thing, otherwise you'll end up with code that'll be very specific to exactly the configuration of shared memory and
distributed memory. From the outset designing it to be able to take advantage of either.
Yeah, their view is that you will distribute your data, you won't have copies.
Yeah.
And so it's not going to be a big difference between the thread and the process. And they've been discussing that with LibMesh recently too, and saying that we're intending to parallelize or distribute our mesh, and so it won't be an issue at that stage. I can see that threads, they do seem a little more closely coupled, and there might be a little bit of optimization to handle there, but that doesn't seem to be the approach that other people have taken.
So that is a significant distinction between a process and a thread, is a process is defining its own memory space.
Yeah.
Whereas a thread, you've got a computational sort of space that's accessing a common memory.
That's right.
But between processes, you can define shared memory blocks, but normally you do that very specifically. So this is a shared memory block.
But you can find it's actually harder to program with threads because everything's shared implicitly and you have to worry a lot more about locking. And so I think that's why it gets seen, perhaps the LibMesh people feel it's just easier to think in processes. Then you are dividing memory use amongst each process, and it should be similar to if you're using threads.
I think we've got my opinion.